Welcome to a message from New Life Christian Church and World Outreach with Pastor John Below the Second.
So John chapter 16, let's take a look at this. We've been doing a series on Hebrews. I'm going to pick that up on Wednesday night here for a while. But upcoming pretty soon is going to be Pentecost Sunday. The word Pentecost means 50. 50 days after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, the Holy Ghost descended on 120 people in what they call the upper room. Thank God it was recorded in the Bible because no denomination can deny it. The Holy Ghost came. Everybody say that. The Holy Ghost came. And we're just going to look very briefly today. I mean, everybody believes in the Holy Spirit, or they should. He may not talk about it much. You know, it's like one lady walked up to her pastor and said, "Do we believe in the Holy Spirit here?" And she goes, "Well, of course, we believe in the Trinity." And she said, "Well, we talk about the Father and the Son a whole lot, but we never talk about the Holy Spirit." Folks, we need to talk about the Holy Spirit as well, amen? Because that's a way of honoring and receiving and acknowledging that He came. So during the next few Sundays up to Pentecost Sunday, we're going to be talking about the Holy Ghost. On Wednesday night, we'll jump back into our series, the book of Hebrews. You don't want to miss that. That's going to be fun, praise God. But we're excited to love Jesus, to be saved, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and know that our generation needs the power of God as much as any generation. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 7 says, in the New King James says it this way, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." People say, "Well, if Jesus was just here." No, it was to our advantage that he leave. "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, here's the Amplified translation, John 16, verse 7. "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is good, it is expedient, it is advantageous." I like that, praise God. Amen? It is good, expedient, it's advantageous, it's profitable, you know, for you that I go away. He says, "Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby." See, those are definitions of who the Holy Ghost is in our life, praise God. Those are words that help us to understand why it's good, it's profitable, it's to our advantage, it's to our advantageous to us for Jesus to leave. You see, why would we want Jesus to leave? Because it's to our advantage, it's to our profit, it's good for him to leave, because when he left, he could send the Holy Ghost, who wasn't limited to a body. See, Jesus had to come in a body. He had to operate in a body. He had to be limited to a body. But the Holy Ghost could come, and he's not limited except to one body called the body of Christ. That's us, praise God. That's all of us, amen? The Holy Spirit's not limited. He can show up in all of our lives, and this is who he is to us. He's our Comforter. He's our Counselor. He's our Helper. He's our Advocate. He's our Intercessor. He's our Strengthener. He's our Standby. He will not come to you into close fellowship with you, but if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you, praise God. See, the Holy Ghost came to live in us. John chapter 14 talks about he is in you, and he's with you, and he will be in you. See, now, a lot of times people will say, I just take opposition with you if you tell me I don't have the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes Pentecostal, full gospel, tongue-talking people, charismatics will say, "Well, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost." Well, that's not true. That's not true. You can be born again. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit, and you have the Holy Ghost in you, praise God. You have a new spirit, and you have the Holy Ghost in you. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, "Greater he is in you than he that's in the world," praise God. See, the devil wants us to believe that he's as big as Hollywood wants to make him. That's why you should never feed on fear and only feed on the Word of God, which will give you faith. But, you know, the reality is when you begin to think and meditate and believe that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, all of a sudden you got some backbone instead of some wishbone, praise God. All of a sudden you're walking in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the Word of God coming out of your mouth and with the will of God, you know, known in your mind, you are something that makes the devil an endangered species. His time is limited on this planet, praise God. There is a day when he and all of his demons are going to be gathered together and tossed into the lake of fire forever, praise God. Yeah, and you know, people say, I heard a guy on TV, Debbie and I think was flipping around, this guy said, and he was talking about in this school in Ohio where they had a picture of Jesus forever. It's always been there, you know, in the existence of the school. And they were wanting that picture of Jesus taken out of that school. And he said, and they were saying, well, why would a picture of Jesus be a trouble anybody? And the atheist guy said, well, would you want the guy who invented hell to be hanging up in your school? Well, if you're an atheist, why would it bother you anyway? You know, I mean, if you don't believe in him, I mean, what's the point? It shouldn't bother you anyway. Well, you shouldn't believe in hell anyway if you're an atheist. But you know, there are no such thing as atheists. As I said before, you know, the only person who could really be an atheist would have to be God. Because, you know, usually an atheist person says, the reason I don't believe there's a God is because I've never experienced God. So I make an intelligent decision, there is no God. Well, unless you know everything and you are everywhere and there's nothing left for you not to know and there's no place for you not to be, you cannot intelligently say that there is not the possibility of a God existing. So only stupid people, like the Bible says, say there's no God. So anyway, I don't want to get off on that this morning, but we could preach here for a while. The meaning of the word comforter. Let's just take a look at this a little quick. John chapter 16, verse 7, out of the Amplified. Because I sometimes just get concerned. I think, who wouldn't want the Holy Ghost to help you? Who wouldn't want to benefit from everything that Jesus died? When Jesus said it's profitable, it's good, it's to your advantage for me to leave so I can send the Holy Ghost, who wouldn't want to have the advantage on the devil? Who wouldn't want to have the advantage on sin? Who wouldn't want to have the helper, the third person of the Trinity involved in their life? Now, there's a difference between being born of the Spirit, which every born-again person has, and everybody who calls themselves a Christian, who knows the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, is born again. You're born of the Spirit. Then there's a thing that we call filled with the Spirit. That's a whole nother thing of being filled with the Spirit. Now, a lot of people born of the Spirit, they're rightly born of the Spirit. They have the Holy Ghost, but there's this lifestyle called being filled with the Spirit. We're going to talk a little bit about that next Sunday a little bit, being filled with the Spirit and the benefit of being filled with the Spirit so we can, you know, if Jesus said it's profitable, if Jesus said it's to our advantage, if Jesus said it's good to have these people, this manifestation, a helper, a comforter, a standby, a counselor, an advocate, all this of the Holy Spirit in our life, then we ought to be benefiting by it. Amen? Number one, the first one's the helper. Often we're looking at all the wrong places for help. You know, I had a minister who's been saved longer than me, been born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit longer than me, been in the ministry a little longer than me, and he was going through a difficult time in his life, and he was sharing with these people, and actually several pastors and in a minister's conference, how he went to a prophet to find out if there's an area of his life that he was missing it. Therefore, you know, the battle that was raging in his life, he could get some help. He thought, well, I'll go to this prophet. If there's something I'm missing, this prophet will be able to give me the answer. The reason the Holy Ghost is in you is to give you what you need, praise God. We go all over the world sometimes. There's nothing wrong with good godly counsel. There's nothing wrong with getting some good godly advice or help from people that you respect. But the bottom line is, in you is the counselor, praise God. Is the helper of all time. He's there to help us. And we need to realize, we need to learn to depend upon the Holy Ghost first. And don't run all over the country looking for people to tell you stuff. If you haven't taken the time to get before the Lord and seriously seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the all-knowing God on the inside of you, I believe he can give you some answers. Amen? I mean, you know, I'm a pastor. I love helping people and telling people sometimes what all I can tell you is what the Scripture says. No, first of all, the Holy Spirit will never contradict or get outside the Word of God. He won't give you spiritual advice that's stupid. Every now and then, you know, people get so spiritual, they go stupid. They forget the Word of God. They bounce off the walls. They come up with all this weird stuff, and they do it because, you know, somebody told them that they should do something. I've heard so much stuff over the years, I don't even want to rehearse it, because if I start telling you stories, you know, we could be here all day. But we need to learn. We need to learn to seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit as our helper first. Number two, it talks about here, and this goes right with it, the Holy Spirit is there as our counselor. John 16, verse 11 says, He will lead us into all truth. Because He'll lead us into all truth, you never have to be concerned if what the Holy Spirit tells you is the truth. You need to know this, if it's fear, if it's defeat, if it's, you know, something that contradicts the Word of God, it is not the Holy Ghost. It is not the Holy Ghost talking to you. And you need to learn, praise God, to obey the Holy Spirit and realize that it's truth. The devil will tell you the opposite every time of what the Word of God says. If you're believing God for your marriage, He'll tell you you're going to get a divorce. It's not going to work out. You might as well give up. If you're believing God, you know, for your kids to be saved and get it turned around, and He'll tell you how disastrous it is and how bad it is and how rebellious they are, and on and on and on. But, you know, the truth is the Holy Ghost will reach them, praise God. You know, if you're battling sickness, disease, or something along that line, the devil's going to tell you, He'll kill you. You're going to die. That is something that He loves painting, a picture. Even in my own life, there's been times when depression or oppression gets on you because you're going through a trial, and He starts telling you what your funeral will look like. Yeah, I think several of us have imagined that, you know. And, you know, the couple of them I've wanted to set up and say, I hate all of you. I know that's never happened to any of you, you know, just being a little transparent. When you're hurt, and if you're not careful, bitterness will get in there. And if bitterness gets in there, you got a problem. You got a problem. You need to get that bitterness out. Doesn't mean it. Flig. Forgive and let it go, man. Amen. Forgive and let it go. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. Okay, I forgive them. Let it go also. You got to don't just forgive them, let it go. If long as you're still identifying with it and holding on to it and trying to justify it and rationalize it, the pain, the injury, the hurt, you know, the offense and all that, then you haven't let it go. Forgive and let it go. It'll still be there. The devil will bring it up every now and then. Know this, Jesus will never bring it up. If you've forgiven it and you put it under the blood and you've let it go, it's not God that's bringing up the old unforgiveness. That's the devil. And the reason he is because he wants to use it against you. So the counselor will tell you the truth, praise God. And I'll tell you, it's scary sometimes to know the truth. It's scary because, like, some of the folks that shared their testimony down here in West Virginia, their past was their whole identity. And everything that they had lived and experienced, the devil had convinced them, that's who you are. This is who you are. But then you get saved, and the counselor comes along and says, no, I'm going to paint you a whole nother image of who you are. I'm going to show you who you are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to show you that not only are you forgiven, not only is your past washed away in the blood of Jesus, but I'm going to show you that when the devil looks at you, he sees Christ himself. And as long as when you begin to see Jesus, when you look in the mirror, bless God, you start walking, talking, living, and acting like Jesus, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah. Amen. That's the kind of counsel we need. Don't act like the sinner you used to be. Act like the Christian that you are. It got quiet in that Methodist church. One time when I was telling them that about, you know, how I talk about here that you're, don't ever say you're a sinner saved by grace. It got quiet in there, didn't it? It like, because now I'm coming against tradition, see? Now I'm coming against how many of you ever said that before or heard that preached from the pulpit or heard something like that? See, I'm a sinner saved by, after all, Pastor, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. So what do sinners do? And so therefore you have no victory, see? You were a sinner that got saved by grace, but now you're a Christian being sanctified by that same grace, praise God. So I said to him, I tell my people, don't you call yourself a sinner. I'll slap the fire out of you. You know, you're a Christian, you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. And I'll tell you, I had to pre-qualify that statement. I said, now, if you don't like what I'm about to say, don't hold it against the pastor. He didn't know I was going to say that. Don't hold that against Mr. and Mrs. Hansen. They didn't know I was going to say this. But I took some time to build it up and deliver it kind of right to help them. You are not a sinner if you're born again. You are a saint of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, Beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children or the sons of God. And that word, behold, what manner, that word manner there means out of this world, not of this world. What? There's love that's not of this world that has made you a son of the child of God. Amen? A son of God. It's out of this world. God's love is out of this world. There is no limit to what God's love will do in your life. Amen. The only limits is what we put on because, well, I don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything. But His love says you get it anyway. Go ahead and be smart enough, humble enough, Christian enough to receive what God has given you. Amen? So, number three, He's our advocate. Man, I like this one. Jesus and the Holy Ghost will always go to bat for you, praise God. The Holy Spirit is our advocate or lawyer, one who pleads our case. You know, the Holy Ghost is always trying to plead our case that we're a new creature, we're born of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is always trying to get us to receive the truth, the reality of who we are in Christ. The Holy Ghost is always trying to get us to believe what the Bible says about us. The Holy Ghost is trying to get us to act like we're supposed to be acting the way we're supposed to be living. He's our advocate. He's in there pleading our case, trying to get us to agree with the Word of God. So we can get the sentence that the Word of God has given us, which is liberty and freedom and health and wealth and unity and agreement and the power of God being displayed in our life, praise God. That's what He's pleading for. He's pleading for the will of God in our life. And we just need to sometimes agree with our advocate, our attorney, praise God, amen. Number four, He's our intercessor. This has to do with our prayer life. You know, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray in and through us, praise God. Now, you know, we looked at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that Jesus ever liveth to make an intercession for us. And we looked at Luke chapter 22, where Jesus was praying for us. And I think sometimes you just need to stop. Sometimes your prayer life, and you need to have a fresh encounter with Jesus, and you need to get down with Jesus, and you need to shut up and listen to what He's praying for you. Luke chapter 22 says, Jesus said to Peter when he was about to betray the Lord three times, He said, Peter, this is what's going to go on. Of course, Peter being like a lot of us, no, I'd go to prison for you. I'll die for you. I do have to give him a kudo. He did pull his sword out and cut somebody's ear off when it got bad. But, you know, that's what we do. We act in the flesh rather than the spirit. Yeah. Amen. And so Jesus said, no, put the sword back. Because if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So we don't live by the sword. We live by the Spirit. Yeah. The sword of the Spirit is how we live, praise God, not the sword of the flesh. So anyway, He says, I'm going to pray for you, Peter. He said, the devil has put in an official requisition to sift you like wheat. You ever feel like you've been sifted like wheat? He said, He has made an official request to sift you like wheat. But He said, I have prayed for you. And He says, when you return, strengthen your brethren. Go back and make everybody else strong, because when you realize, when, you know, kind of like these testimonies, when they were sharing and being very transparent, it gave those kids and it gave people in the church some strength to believe God that He'd do the same thing for them that He did for those who were sharing their testimony, praise God. That's the power of a testimony. Nobody can argue with what God has done, particularly with you. You can't talk me out of it because it's already happened, and I know it was only God who did it. Right. Amen? So Jesus prayed for him. And we need to sometimes snuggle up to the Lord there while He's praying and just be quiet, because He's not going to pray what we pray. He's not going to pray fear. He's not going to pray death. He's not going to pray the problem. He's not going to pray strife. He's not going to pray hopelessness. Listen, I've listened to people pray, and that's the way they pray sometimes. They tell God all about their problem for as long as they can do it, and then they say, amen. And they expect God to change and act on that. God doesn't act on fear. God doesn't act on your worries. God doesn't act on the hopelessness. God only responds to the promises that you give him that he's made. And when you give him his word, praise God, that releases God to begin to move in your life. And there's a whole thing that we have to buy into, that the love of God says you're worth whatever God has to do to change and to come in and be a part of your life. Quit talking yourself out of it. He's our intercessor. Romans 8, verse 26 in the Amplified says this. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. Man, that's awesome, praise God. Do you ever feel weak? Man, the Holy Ghost comes along and bears us up. For we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it. When I got that text last night, and it was about that family and a little kid being hurt and all the stuff like that and the people that were involved in it, I don't know how to pray for all that. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost does. And so, man, I just right there, you know, spun my little chair around, got down on my knees and just prayed in the spirit, you know, and prayed and believed God. And every now and then, if I felt led of the Lord, I said something in English. But most of the time, when you're doing those difficult times of prayer, we just need to make sure the Holy Ghost is praying, because he knows how to pray and what to pray. Amen. We don't worthy as we ought, but the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. I mean, when you're out of the Holy Ghost, out of your spirit, man, the Holy Spirit begins to pray through you for the situation. You may not know how, you may not know what to pray, but the Holy Ghost knows how to go to war in the Spirit for your behalf, praise God. Amen. Fifth, John chapter 14, verse 6, the Amplified says, the translation goes on to say, the Holy Spirit is our strengthener, and we should look inside for our strength. We need to realize it's good. You know, when you got numbers, it's really healthy. You know, I mean, sometimes during that, when they were sharing their testimonies, and we had some newbies, you know, like first timers, like they said. Actually, all three of those that came up here this morning were first timers. And, you know, and you think, well, when I stand here in front of, like, you, New Life here, this is a safe place. We love God. We love people. And we realize that they go through transformation and they do dumb, crazy things. But that doesn't stop God from loving them. Amen. And sometimes the only way they're ever going to know that God's going to love them is we got to step up and hug them. Amen. And so, you know, and let them know we're here, and we ought to be able to whisper in their ear the same thing that Jesus says. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll stick with you the uttermost ends of the earth. How many had somebody stick with you sometime when everybody else walked off? I'm going to tell you, man, that's important. When people show up in the middle of your crisis, I call it the power of just presence, the power of just being there. But I'll tell you, there's one, the Holy Ghost never leaves you. If there's nobody else there, maybe they don't know, but the Holy Ghost knows, and he can be right there with you when you've been segregated, isolated, separated from everybody else, maybe by circumstances, maybe by the way they feel about you, maybe the way you feel about yourself. There have been a few times in my life, because of the way I felt about me, I separated myself from everybody else. Now, I know you're too smart to do that. Don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. I just want to go over here and crawl in a hole and pull the rock over me. I just want to get in the bed, pull up the covers, and just die right here. The devil loves that stuff. Loves that stuff when you isolate yourself. Because when you isolate yourself, you keep the Holy Spirit from rising up, and you keep the Holy Spirit from moving through somebody else to make a contact with your life. We need each other, we need the Holy Ghost, and we need to learn to depend upon the Spirit of God, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Number six says the Holy Ghost is our standby. He's just standing by to help. The Holy Ghost is always present. You don't have to worry about, will he show up? He doesn't ever leave you. He's always there. He's there. He's your standby. He's just standing by waiting to help, praise God. He's just like, sometimes I think he's going, let me. Come on, let me. Shut up. That's not good. Let me. You know, we need to let the standby do his job, amen. He's just standing by to help. You ever have somebody trying to help you sometimes, and it's just like, don't help me, I'll just do it myself. You know, you just think it's easier to do it by yourself. Listen, living in this world, you need the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you're dealing with issues and problems, you need to stand by, to come alongside you and to help you, praise God. He's just standing there to help. Stop using your head to solve and resolve everything. Don't pray out of your head or your emotions, but pray in the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Spirit help you. We get emotional. We get ideas. We can, listen, I know enough Bible. Jim Paul knows enough Bible. A lot of you know enough Bible that you can use the Word of God to justify about anything you want to do. Isn't that right, Jim Paul? We could do that. We could use the Word of God to justify almost anything we want to do. But I got news for you. The Holy Ghost won't let you do that. The Holy Ghost will challenge you and say, your motives are wrong, your heart is wrong, your thinking is stinking. Let's get out of that, praise God. Let's let the Holy Spirit do His job. So we get worn down, we worry, we get mental battles, and you get exhausted. And when you get exhausted, when you get fatigued, faith walks out. You start getting confused and all messed up because, you know, you're reading the Bible one thing, but you're experiencing another thing. Keep with the Word of God because it's the absolute truth. It will change your experience, praise God. And stay with it. The Holy Spirit is not in your head, but in your heart, in your spirit man, the real you. You're a spirit person. You live in a body. You possess a mind, a soul, a will, an emotion, imaginations. It's all there. And let me tell you something. I just want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying this morning. Your emotions are not bad. But you can't trust them when you're going through a difficult time. You have to learn to trust the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, because when your mind is all hurt, it's all bent, it's all confused, then it will tell you things that, you know, sound soothing or like what everybody else is doing or what friends would tell you to do. But what friends tell you to do may not be what the Holy Spirit will tell you to do. And you got to learn to yield. Everybody say yield. Yield to the Holy Ghost, praise God. You know, just real quick here, I just need to jump some things here. So let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And while we're going there, 1 John chapter 2. Now, don't be like those Methodists and don't bring a Bible to church. We challenged them every service. They started bringing Bibles to church. And they have what we have, you know, verses on the screen, all that kind of stuff. So, well, Pastor Lowe, you're going to put the verse on the screen? What's the big deal? You need to know where it's at in your book. The big deal is to be able to find it for yourself. The big deal is to be able to declare it and to say what God said. You know, that's why Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, he didn't say, well, you know, where's the power slide? Of course, they didn't have any back then. But, you know, I mean, he quoted it out of his heart. He said, it is written. He didn't have a scroll. He quoted it out of his heart. Now, that goes past your memorization and needs to go down to your heart. So when the warfare's on, what comes out of your heart is the Word of God with a Holy Ghost anointing on it, with a Holy Ghost power attached to it. And man, when you have a Holy Ghost anointing, a Holy Ghost power, it sounds different when it comes out of your mouth. It changes the atmosphere. It'll put goosebumps all over you. It'll change everything. It breaks yokes. 1 John chapter 2, let's look at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. See, that's on the inside of you, the Holy Ghost. You have an anointing from the Holy Ghost. And it says right here in the Bible, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Jump down to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Now, I know God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of help people get into the work of the ministry and to learn and to grow and those kind of things. But there ought to be a maturity in your life to where you begin to depend upon the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, that He can teach you, and the anointing on the inside of you, you ought to be able to know when something's right, when something's wrong. You remember in Hebrews, we saw there where it says, says you have. You're to be able to discern the difference between good and evil. You're able to discern what is right and what isn't, is not right, what is righteous and what's unholy by having our senses exercised. What senses? The sense of the Holy Spirit, the sense of being a spirit person, the sense of knowing the Word of God, the sense of being able to say something. And when you say it, when it comes out of your mouth, when it comes out of your heart, not out of your head, but out of your mouth, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you sense the power. You sense that breakthrough. It's like a hitting the target. You know that it was from God. You know it was something that you didn't think up yourself, that it came out of your gut. Man, you can act on that, and you can so be at peace about it, that it was God, because, you know, we're not that smart. As smart as we are, we're not that smart. And as strong as we are, we're not that strong to come up with the answer from the Spirit, man. Then it comes out, and we know, man, it was anointed of God. It was the Holy Ghost talking to us and talking through us. Amen? So we need to believe the Bible, and we need to stir up the gift. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we quote this verse all the time in church and said different settings, but we missed the previous verse, and we need to make sure that we get it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we quote verse 7 all the time. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. We quote that all the time. But we need to make sure that we're getting verse 6 as well. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You see, we've had hands laid on us for the anointing of God. We've had hands laid on us to receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We've had hands laid on us for giftings and different ministries and different things like what we did to here this morning. We had hands. Say, well, Pastor, what difference does that make? All I was doing was obeying the Holy Spirit. And I know when I obey the Holy Spirit, there's a spiritual deposit that is made. And when they receive that and they act on that, and the next time the devil says to them, listen, this is too hard, too much, I'm not smart enough. You say, no, I have an anointing. I'm going to stir up this gift that was hands were laid on me. And because hands were laid on me, there was a spiritual deposit laid into my body, into my mind. I'm going to stir this thing up. And you got to understand this. You may have the anointing, but if you don't stir it up yourself, we're commanded. Timothy's commanded. You do the stirring, boy. See, we're always wanting God to do for us what God has told us to do. We can't get lazy in the kingdom of God. We got to remind ourselves. We stir ourselves up. We go back to the promises. We go back and tell the devil, hey, devil, I remember Sunday morning, Pastor Lowe and a bunch of people laid hands on me and anointed me with oil and prayed on my life and over my life and prayed into me an anointing. I'm depending on the Holy Ghost to break out in my life. Praise God. Man, when you do that, all of a sudden there's the gifting that starts operating in your life. There's a power that begins to surge up when you remind yourself of the things that God has imparted to you. Sometimes Debbie and I have talked to each other and we said, you know, we start talking about all the people who's laid hands on us. It's really almost anybody and everybody that's anybody and everybody. And sometimes, you know, you just have to remind yourself, I'm not doing this thing in my own strength. I'm not doing this thing in my own wisdom. I'm not doing this. We got hands laid on us, man. We got an anointing. Not this, go beyond the calling. Go beyond everything that God just does for us because he's God. But also these other men and women of God have laid hands on us. And they prayed over us. And they anointed us. And they believed and placed a deposit in us. So therefore, I've got a piece of them, praise God. You know, somebody say, you want a piece of me? Yes, I do. I want a big chunk, praise God. I want a big piece of you because the more pieces of that anointing on your life, I deposit it in my life. And when we lay hands on people, I'm just not laying hands on you. Debbie's not just laying on hands on you. Some of you, same situation. Don's had a lot of people lay hands on. We don't just do it on ourselves. We do it by the Holy Ghost. That's the most important. And then we do it with all those other anointings, all those other people have agreed in faith for us, not only today, but for our future and everything that God has called us to do. And I believe those prayers are being answered even after they're dead. They're dead. Their prayers don't go unanswered just because they died. J. Joseph said to him, when you guys leave town, you take my bones with you. 400 years later, they left town. They took his bones with them. There's times on prayers, you check out the Bible. They prayed, and it took hundreds and sometimes thousands of years for it to come about, but their prayer was answered, praise God. I heard somebody say yesterday, you know, sometimes God always answers prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. I had to almost bite my tongue into. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, all of his promises are yes and amen. They're yes and amen. It's never God that has said no to you. It's never God that said no to you. Well, it's never God. That's the reason lots of times we never see it in here is because we somehow think God is holding out on us. God's not the one holding out. He said yes, and he said amen. He said yes. They say sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. No, God, the Bible, everybody say the Bible. The Bible said God said yes to all his promises. So all you got to do is find a promise. Just get you a promise. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, we'll close with this. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything that is his will, we know that he hears us. If he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him, praise God. A lot of times we don't go and get the promise. And if we get the promise, we let the devil talk us out of it because we screw up. There's nobody on the planet that hasn't screwed up. And thank God for his grace. Because his grace doesn't lift off our life because we screwed up. His callings are without repentance. That means if God's given you something and put something in you, he's not going to be an Indian giver and take it back. Oh, I can't do that. Now, you screwed up. Well, yes, Lord, I screwed up. And would you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. And he doesn't start you at minus zero. You just start where you left off, and you can make up whatever ground you think you lost quick in Jesus' name. Just as quick as you want to make it up. Don't hold yourself back. Give yourself permission to go on, praise God. Amen. Let's stand up and pray this morning. Believe God. And one of the things we want to do is make sure that you're born of the Spirit. That's called being born again. That's accepting Jesus Christ, your Savior. And so if there's any doubt at all in your mind, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to make sure that that's settled once and for all, never to be asked again. And then number two, we want to pray for those. See, Pastor Lowe, you know, I'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm born of the Spirit. I'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. I'd like for you to pray for me so I can get filled with the Holy Ghost and I could speak in tongues because I realize, starting with this morning, we'll go more next week. We'll go a little bit more for a couple weeks about talking about the Holy Ghost and the value of praying in the Spirit every day. Sometimes several times a day, or like last night when I didn't know how to pray or what to pray, I just got on my knees before God and prayed in the Spirit for that family because Jesus wants to save that family. Jesus wants to protect that child. Jesus wants those parents to be good parents, but the devil's trying to destroy their whole life. But we can intervene in prayer and do what we can do in prayer that we could never do any other way. Amen? So if you're here this morning and you'd like to make sure that you're saved or be filled with the Holy Ghost, heaven speaking in tongues, would you come down real quick? We want to pray for you and believe God for you, lay hands on you, do just what Timothy was told to do. I'm laying hands on you to get that anointing, praise God. So come now, come quickly in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Want to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on down, and our altar workers, some of them come on down, has been working the altars, and we got some training that's going to go on. Come on down. We got some Holy Ghost stuff happening. Also, if you're in need of healing this morning, and I was going to have that come down as well. So, Pastor Lowe, I've had hands laid on me before. I know that. You know that. That's not the issue. It's just reminding us about the anointing. But I was going to do that here down front this morning, but I just sensed as well that, hey, right there where you're at, let's feel the anointing of God of my brothers and my sisters around me, and let's believe God together. So if you need healing in the house, you're here this morning and you need something in your body, something in your body, would you hold your hand up? We want to pray with you and pray for you. Got one here, got a couple there. Anybody else? Okay, let's get around them and let's pray for them. Let's lay hands on them and let's pray for them, believe God. Listen, the greater one lives on the inside of you. Let's get the Holy Ghost going. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth for the Holy Spirit, for the gift of salvation. We thank you for healing bodies, healing minds. We thank you, Lord God, no sickness, no disease, no plague, no cancer, no germ, no virus, no bacteria has any right to live or exist in our body, Lord God. I call our blood clean. I call our bones clean. I call our muscles clean. I praise you and I thank you, Lord God, that tumors and Lord, all kinds of lumps have to die, have to dissipate, have to dissolve. Lord God, stones, kidney stones, gallbladder stones, those things have to dissolve in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak the blood clots and the circulatory system, Lord God, that those things have to dissolve in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I praise you and thank you for bones. I thank you for muscles. I thank you, Lord God, that they respond to the word of God. Psalms 107, verse 20 says, you sent your word and you healed them. We're not going to regard any lie, any symptom, any experience. Lord God, we're releasing our faith for the power of God, for the anointing of God, as hands are laid on us right now. Lord, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, break and destroy those yokes. It's no longer about us. It's no longer about our past. It's no longer about even our future. That's secure. That's settled. That's not even in question anymore. It's about, Lord, depending upon the Holy Ghost, yielding. Yield, Lord God. Let the Holy Ghost minister life to our bodies, ministering life to our minds. Oh, Holy Spirit, we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. In the name that's above every name, Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, that name above every name is not about silver, it's not about gold, but it is about the name that's above sickness, above disease, above cancer, above polio, above scoliosis, above, Lord God, any oppression. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you, Lord, no demonic activity in our homes, no demon spirits, no oppression, no depression, Lord God. I come against every spirit and I say by the authority of the shed blood of Jesus, you're released from your assignment. The assignment to kill, the assignment to steal, the assignment to destroy. By the authority of the blood of Jesus, we release you from this assignment in Jesus Christ's name. Command you to go and for the Holy Ghost, Lord, to minister life in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Now, the rest of you are dismissed. These can stay down here for a while. God bless you.